After you get done hugging them, I want you to turn to your Bibles with me. Turn to your Bibles with me. Go to Luke chapter 15. Go to Luke chapter 15. We're going to start reading verse 24 through 32. I found my brother. I found my sister. And understand what type of joy that comes from when you found something that was lost. The joy that comes with finding something that was lost. That was lost. That's Luke chapter 15. We're going to start reading verse. Hallelujah. 25. Verse number 24. The Bible says, for this son, if you could bear with me, if you don't have it, just look at the screen. It says, for this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and he has been found. And they began to celebrate the thing you do when you win. I said, the thing you do when you win. Now this older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He heard the party, and he summoned one of the servants and became inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatty calf because he has received him back safe and sound. My brother, my sister. But he became, But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, Look, father. For so many years, I have been serving you. And I've never neglected a command of yours, and yet have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. Give me 20. But he answered and said to his father, but when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, man. For this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live. He was lost and has been found. Listen, saints. When we turn our hearts towards grace, God is responsible for providing the joy. When we turn our hearts towards grace, God is responsible for providing the joy, the celebration, the excitement. When our hearts are turned to grace, God will provide joy, celebration, excitement. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Lord, for the next few moments, Father, I'm asking you to have your way. Hide me behind the cross. I need you to do what you want to do. Lord, I want you to break off the anxiety in those minds, Lord, that are anticipating to get out of here. But I'm praying, Father, that you would touch the hearts and mind, that they would prefer to get what you have rather than get out of here. Have your way, Daddy. I'm your vessel. And as our hearts turn to grace, provide the joy. In Jesus' name. Touch your neighbor and say, I found my brother. I found my sister. Touch him. Touch him. Touch him. Touch him. Say, I found my brother. I found my sister. I don't care if you're married to him. I don't care if you're married to him. I didn't find my brother. I didn't find that. I didn't find my sister. You may be seated. Jesus. Joy is an incredible feeling. It's almost indescribable. The feeling you get when you feel good. Perhaps you feel good from a good win, from exercising. You feel good from accomplishing something. I just feel good. Hallelujah. I feel joy. That's from the Webster Dictionary. Feeling joy, feeling well, feeling good. Turn me down just a little bit. But there's a divine joy. In the Greek, they call it chera. It is a divine joy. It's indescribable. Hallelujah. This thing comes from the Lord. It can only come from the Lord. It's a type of joy that you can only share. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the type of joy you got to call somebody on the phone and tell them and share this thing. Yeah. This joy is everlasting. It don't quit. A divine joy. A type of joy that can get through a struggle. The type of joy that can push you through to endure the worst hell that tries to break loose against you. The Bible says no weapon formed against you can ever prosper. That's, I'm telling you, the type of joy that you have to have inside of you to push through. It's divine joy. 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 I want to talk to somebody today to tell you that the Lord desires you to have this joy. The type of joy you get when you're in the presence of God. But this type of joy has a threat. There is something out here that is threatening you having this everlasting joy. I'm talking about the joy that never quits. Is there anybody out there that's ever been in a situation where you weren't happy? Today, I'm going to show you how you're going to have joy that will never cease. But I'm also going to show you, hallelujah, the threats that is against your joy that will never end. Jesus Christ. Oh, I got it. Jesus Christ is in his ministry. He's preaching the word of God. And while he's preaching amongst hundreds, if not thousands of people who are rolling up on him to hear the word of God. And while he's preaching, hallelujah, you have tax collectors. Tax collectors were people, hallelujah, that would rob you for your money. They rolling up to listen, seeing what Jesus is talking about. Then the Bible says, then sinners approached and they rolled up. Sinners were people who submitted to their flesh over submitting to the instructions of the Lord. And while they rolled up, who was in attendance was God's leaders of the religion, Judaism. They were there as well. And the Bible says they began to murmur under their tongue. They were condemning Jesus. They were condemning the sinners. Hallelujah. They were condemning, hallelujah, the tax collectors. And it's amazing because no matter what you're thinking, no matter what you say under your breath, God knows your heart. Doesn't matter who you are, he knows your heart. No matter whether you speak it, no matter whether you're acting it out, he judges. See, man looks on the outer appearance, but God. And God is, Jesus hears them, their heart. And he gives them three parables. Since they want to condemn, he gives them three parables. The first parable, he looks out into the crowd and says, which one of you If you had 100 sheep and one of them get away, you lose one. Which one of you would not leave the 99 that are safe to go get the one? And once you found the one, wouldn't you rejoice? Wouldn't you be excited? Wouldn't you carry it back home? Call up your neighbors. Call up your friends. Heck, you might even call up your enemies. Because what was once lost is now found. There's no joy like finding something that you treasure that was once lost, and now you found it. And Jesus says, check this out. Jesus said, check this out. In heaven, heaven rejoices, joys more than that over one sinner that repents. Just one. Heaven rejoices. Heaven has joy over one sinner that turns their heart to grace. Hallelujah. Jesus gives a second parable. And the second parable is simple. How many of y'all, if you lost something that you valued and you couldn't find it, first of all, how would that make you feel? I'm telling you. Doggone it. For some of us, it may have taken 24 hours for us to find that thing. Maybe days, some of us weeks, some of us months. But when we found it, man, didn't you feel good? Man, I finally found that thing. Some of us have lost something that has been dear to us. And we're still looking for it. And we haven't found it. We're still looking for it. But could you imagine how you would feel if you found that thing that you value so much? Could you imagine how you feel? Jesus says, in heaven, in the presence of the angels, there is more joy there for one sinner that repents, for one individual that turns their heart for his grace. Just one. That was the second parable he gives. Then he gives this third and last parable. The third last parable, he says, there was a father and two sons, one older, one younger. And the father represents, somebody say grace. Grace is unmerited favor. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't work for it. It's free. It's unmerited. It's undeserved. It's a free gift. All you have to do is receive it and accept it. That's what the Father represents. Talk to me. Say, the Father represents grace. The Father represents grace. The older brother represents self-righteousness. Someone that tries to exalt themselves over the knowledge of God. Someone who tries to lift themselves up over you. Think of themselves higher than they ought to. They prefer to judge you than share with you. Self-righteous. The older brother represents what? Hallelujah. And the younger brother represents the sinner. The one that prefers, hallelujah, to submit himself to the appetites of his flesh, then submit himself to the instructions of God. The two comparisons I would say about the brothers is this. Neither of the brothers desires grace. They rather work then have a free gift. The Bible says that the young brother comes to the father in his words. Remember, God knows the heart. I'll come back to that. The youngest brother comes to his father. I know you already know where I'm going. The youngest brother comes to his father and says, I want my inheritance. I want my portion. I want my stuff. I want my estate. And understand that the people who are listening to Jesus tell this parable, they're like, that's crazy. That's crazy. How could he be asking for his inheritance? The father has to die first for that to happen. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the word, hallelujah, wealth or estate, in that particular text means bio in the Greek. It's biography. Hallelujah. It's your memoir. It's your obituary. He was requesting the obituary so he can have his stuff. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that the father divided the portion between the two of them. He just gave it to him. But if you understood something in the divine, I want to talk to somebody in their heart right now. Even though the inheritance that you know in this world comes, it is sent to the recipient once somebody has traveled on or transitioned on, it's not like that in the spirit. In the divine, God gives the inheritance while he's yet living. It is a living document. So what I'm saying is, when the son left the father, it wasn't that the father died. It was actually that the son did. Because he left the covering and he left his resource that was feeding him for free to go out in the world to work. Because he rather deserve. He rather earn. He rather work for it. He don't want to have it for free. He wants to deserve it. He wants to earn it. He wants to work for it. I want to do me. Come on, somebody. I want to talk to somebody real quick. Do you understand that there are people that are assigned to you? There are people, mother, there are people that are assigned to you. And understand that, hallelujah, because they're assigned to you, they're under the shadow of grace. It is saving their life. I don't know who I'm talking to. That husband, that wife that's getting on your nerve, you got to understand, you have an assignment to them. You might be the only reason why they make it to glory. I said, your friend, that brother, that sister, that child that you're taking care of, that's acting a slum fool. You are assigned to them. If they chose to break free of you, don't you understand they are lost in the spirit realm? They are dead. And the reason why somebody is still yet living is because they are attached to you. I'm here to tell somebody, don't you let them go. Whoever it is that's getting on your nerve, you need to learn to pray and pray for them. Because understand this, if they would turn their heart to grace, God will provide the joy. Do you hear what I'm saying? If they had the nerve to change their heart to grace because of you, God will provide the joy. You guys know the story. The young man goes on this journey. He spends all of his money up. He wanted to work. He was getting it for free. He wanted to work. So now he's out here. He's working and he goes broke. Boom. And the Bible says now he's working for the pigs. Understand, as the Jewish community is listening to this, the Jews despise pigs. And this man, hallelujah, was so low, so desperate. Is there anybody that you know, not you, your neighbor? Not you, your neighbor. Is there somebody that you might know that was so desperate they would do anything to survive? Even a thing that they would talk about other people doing it. But just to survive, just to make it, I'll do it. I'll eat it. I'll do it. I'll dance for them. Let me go on over here, because when I brought up the dancing, I do whatever it takes to survive, because out here, I'm by myself. I'm alone. There's no grace. I'm trying to deserve it. I'm trying to earn it. I'm trying to work for it. But there's no joy. But there's no joy. Not no divine joy. And the Bible says that this man comes to his senses. He has a come to Jesus moment. He comes to his senses. What? Come on, somebody. Wake up. Y'all know what I'm talking about. What in the world was I thinking? Now, listen, I ain't always been saved, but. What in the world was I thinking last night? What time is service tomorrow? What time is service? 10:30? I'm in there. He had a coming to Jesus moment. He realized that what he was working for, and he would never, come on, he was living paycheck to paycheck, suffering. He never suffered with his father. Come on, somebody. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. I had it all. What am I tripping on? And the Bible says that his heart was changed. He said, I'm going to go back and tell my father, I won't back in. I'll be a servant. I don't deserve the grace. I don't deserve it. But I'll do whatever it takes to be within your presence before you. And the Bible says when he gets back into town and his father sees him from afar, his father runs for him, hugging him and kissing him. This is what I need you to understand, that just when your heart changes, come on. Hallelujah, the father is drawn. And he don't come walking, baby. He comes running to you. Hallelujah. He couldn't come to you fast enough. All you had to do was change your heart. Hallelujah. This is what gets us saved. Because the Bible says the heart is what makes us righteous. Hallelujah. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So with a heart, it makes you righteous. But with confession is what salvation comes. Your confession saves you. Hallelujah. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that's what I'm saying. Don't just change your heart, baby. Open up your mouth and declare who your daddy is. So that you're not just righteous, but you're saved too. The Bible says after he declared to his father, I have sinned and I messed up. His daddy asked, he said, Don, son, I'm going to restore you back to your heirship, back to your sonship. I'm going to elevate you back to where you left because I'm your daddy and you didn't have to earn it. You didn't have to work for it and you don't deserve it. It is my favor. It is my grace. Why? Why, Lord? Because I love you. I love you. The Bible says that while this was going on, do me a favor, Daryl, get me up Luke chapter 15. Give me verse 25. The Bible says, hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Have your way, Holy Spirit. The Bible says that while the party was going on, while the joy, somebody touch their neighbor, say joy.
Joy.
Joy. Don't sing that song. Joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, listen now. Come on, church. The oldest son hears this noise. What's going on? And it wasn't the noise that made him angry. It's what the joy and the noise was for. It was for his brother. And the Bible says he gets angry. Because let me explain something to you. People that are self-righteous get angry when God is providing grace to those that don't deserve it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Somebody that's self-righteous don't want to see somebody being rewarded because of their faith. They want to see somebody being rewarded because of their works. But it don't work like that. We don't get saved from our works, lest we boast. It is the gift of God. So it is by grace through faith that you are saved. That's the way it works. But self-righteousness is the threat here. Hallelujah. It's two things I want to say about self-righteousness. Just remember this. Self-righteous people hates grace. They hate it. Let me sip this water. They hate grace. Why? Because grace is free. How do I put it? A person that's that's hallelujah, self-righteous, they're like your spiritual capitalists. They want all of the spoil. They want all the spiritual money. They want all the spiritual blessings. And that means that if somebody has all of the blessings, and that means somebody is real, real poor. They don't want to share it. They want it divided. So one is richer and the one's poor. And then I get to talk about the one that's broke. Self-righteous. They can't stand the grace of God. They can't stand, hallelujah, giving things over for free that people who don't deserve earn it. Or work for it. They hate it. They rather judge you. So they get angry when God gives something over for free. The second thing. Did I give you the second thing? I didn't. Lord have mercy. They love to condemn sinners. The Bible says, hallelujah, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But they would rather take the authority of God in their own hands then leave the authority to God. They'd rather judge you. They'd rather condemn you. They'd rather scold you. They'd rather talk about you. That's your brother or your sister who's been dead and now alive. Lost, but now found again. But no, they got to work like I work. They got to pay like I pay. They got to deserve it. They got to earn it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Ooh. This is why Cain's gift wasn't received. Ooh, Holy Spirit. This is why Cain, when it was time to give offerings unto the Lord, Cain gave the Lord what he worked for. Ooh, that, I wish I had some folk. He gave what he earned. He gave what he deserved. I deserve a blessing here. And God, I don't respect that. I don't respect that. I don't respect the things you earn, the things you deserve, the things you work for. But Abel gave not what he earned. He gave a sacrifice. This cost me. This is a sacrifice. This is from my debt because I trust you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When I look at this text, oh, my God. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Esau and Jacob. Come on. The Bible says that Esau, the oldest brother, who was supposed to get the inheritance, he despised the inheritance. He despised it, his birthright, something that was free. He despised the free thing. I don't want the free thing. He despised it. Hallelujah. So Jacob got the gift. And what happens? Esau gets angry. But the Bible says that Esau worked the field. I want you to see something. I'm not good. Now it says, now his older son was in the field. Uh-oh. Now, I don't know a whole lot about black history and slavery, but in this story, Jesus is explaining a very wealthy family. Why in the world is one of his sons working the field? Because he prefers work over the grace. You see that? Now, his older son, he gets the inheritance. I didn't know the house slaves, comparing it to slavery, was in the field. He's in the field. And the Bible says when he came and approached the house, he heard the music. Go to 26. Hallelujah. Go to verse number 26. Hallelujah. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So now you have the older brother, self-righteous. Self-righteous is now talking to his father, and his father is pleading with him. Come in the celebration. You can enter into the joy. Come on in the joy. This is what I'm trying to tell you. When you're angry, the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. Don't unleash your anger into the world. You'll be judged on it. Don't do that. Hold it in. And Jesus, God is always there pleading with you to come into the joy. The Bible says here, hallelujah, when it comes up, hallelujah, that the Father comes out and he's pleading, he's urging, he's encouraging. Come on in the joy. Don't stay out there in the anger. Come in the joy. I don't know who I'm talking to, but when you get angry, understand that the Lord is right there. And he's saying, baby, you don't have to be angry. I have divine joy. If you turned your heart to grace, you ain't got to earn it. You ain't got to deserve it. You ain't got to work for it. It's yours, and I will produce the joy. And I'll produce the joy. Turn with me to verse 28. That's all right. That's all right. I want to say this last thing. We're going to get that fixed. Oh, we got it. Go to 29. No, stay right there. Stay at 28. Understand this. He's not willing. So the Bible says, and his father came out and began pleading with him because he's angry. There are people in your life, hallelujah, that are angry with you, your brothers, your sisters, your friends. This is why they don't show up to your stuff. They show up to your mutual friend stuff. They don't show up to your mutual friend stuff, but they don't show up to your stuff because they mad at you. Do you know why? Because you blessed. You've received God's grace. And because you've turned your heart and God is blessing you because you don't deserve it. Don't you know there's people out here that's praying harder than you? That's working harder than you, fasting more than you, out here serving more than you. But you blessed. Well, how are you blessed more than them? Because your heart is turned to him. It's turned to his grace. Because it's free. You don't deserve it. You don't earn it. You ain't got to work for it. And he gives it to you for free. That's how you get it, your heart. He got to celebrate it. He got to provide the joy. Give me 29. Give me 30. This is the part that I want to close with. Excuse me. Give me 31. Always comparing. And he said to him, son, you have always been with me. This is the part, the reason, Paris, why you came this morning only on 2 hours of sleep. This is why you came right here. And he said to him, son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. Now understand, when you read the word son in Greek, usually it's huios. It means male offspring. Right? But this is technon. Technon means a descendant of. It is the nature of the children of God. Look at it. It's capitalized. I've never seen this before. It's capitalized. And this is where the Lord has given me revelation for this church. For 1 minute, I'm going to take this out of context and I'm going to bring it back. But the Lord gave me a revelation for this church. Look, if you are a child of God, then that means you have a connection with Jesus. Look at that word. It's in caps. I mean, the S is in caps, which means a role. Hallelujah. Because they received God. Hallelujah. The Bible says to them gave them power to become the sons of God. This same Son of God is eternal. He was with the Father in the beginning of time. There is no time. There is no beginning. There is no ending. For the Son of God, there is no beginning and there is no ending. Why you say that, Pastor? Because it says right here, you have always been with me. And all that is mine is yours. You have always, this sounds like,
you got me on that one.
This is reminiscent of John's gospel. Give me John's gospel, chapter 16, verse 15. This is reminiscent of this gospel. Look at this. All things that the Father has are, say it, saints, all things that the Father has are. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. He's the Son of God, eternal. No ending, no beginning. He's ever the Son of God. And understand this. The Son of God who came unto us, who was delivered unto us. Hallelujah. He understands inheritance. I'm closing. Don't play that music yet, but I'm closing. He understands inheritance. When you inherit something, you don't just inherit the spoil. But you inherit the debt too. Just follow me. And the debt that also became Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the loss of mankind from God to man. There was a loss. There was a death. So Jesus came back for you to save you who was lost. But he doesn't die in the role of his father. He doesn't die in the role of the father. He dies in the role of the son. Hallelujah. Which means he became the ultimate, if you would receive it, sibling. If you would receive it, the ultimate brother. The brother that this guy was supposed to be in this story, Jesus became that to us. And because he became a brother to us, the Bible says now we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. There is no more division or portions to you or to you. We're all the same. So now, take me back to verse number, go back to Luke 15. I just want them to see this. Give me that music. Give me Luke 15 and go to verse, I think it's 10. Go to verse number 10. Verse 11. It says, go to verse 12. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me." So the Bible says, so he divided his wealth between them. I love this because the wealth was never supposed to be divided. The estate, the portion, was supposed to always remain together. Not one person over the other, not one more than the other, not one lording over the next. We were all supposed to be heirs and joint heirs. So this is what I'm asking you. There is a brother and a sister out there. And I asked you all this at the beginning of the year, to write down somebody that needs your forgiveness. Thank you. They need your forgiveness, and you need to forgive them. Because it is not our job to judge them and hope that they fail and hope that they lose. There ain't no joy in that. Divine joy happens when you help turn somebody's heart to grace, including your own. So if you're judging them, your heart needs to change. This is why some of us don't have joy, because we'd rather work for it and you will never have it. But the moment you turn your heart and those that are in your life, you might be able to turn their hearts to grace, that they may too have joy. And imagine that. What type of party, what type of celebration that will be if one heart turns to grace. God has to provide the joy. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to do me a favor. When you have a moment this evening, listen to my voice. It's your assignment. I'm not going to ask you to do something that your pastor hasn't already done. Am I right, honey? For those that will receive it, that person that you wrote down at the beginning of the year, text them, call them, tell them you're praying for them. Because it may turn their heart to grace. Amen?
Amen?
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your people. We ask that you would bless our hearts, Lord, as we turn them over to your grace. Lord, we try to do it on our own, but there's no way in the world, Lord, as hard as we've worked, were we able to get the joy that you're able to provide. But now I know all I have to do is turn my heart to your unconditional, your unfailing, your unmerited love, your unmerited favor, your unmerited grace. And from that moment, you will produce joy in my life. Blessings in my life. Father, I thank you for this word. And we bless you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen.